Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning and we have Prepare Open Lines. So if you've got a question or you'd like to talk about a different topic than we're talking about, feel free to call in. Otherwise, we're going to be talking about some questions about politics and about Christians and whether or not and to what degree and any perspectives on Christians in politics. Now, some of the issues that arise are the whole idea of being in the world but not of it, and that being involved in what some consider to be such a corrupt field that corrupts people. And there's quite a variety of different opinions out there. If you have any thoughts you'd like to share, if you've got a question about that, give us a call at 718-664-6988. We're also in the chat room, and we'd be happy if you want to post any questions or comments there. We can incorporate those. So some of the questions that are coming up are about whether Christians should be involved at all in government. And those come from a couple different perspectives. One being this whole notion that since the system is corrupt and God is going to destroy it, that if a Christian is involved in it, they're going to get destroyed. And I think that what that does is that starts us off in fairly a misunderstanding direction. Let's look at what's politics? What is policy making? What is the government? Now, when we look at any, and this is true across the board, not in any one particular country or form of government, wherever you're at, whatever kind of situation you're in, and this is not even necessarily a legal structure, a political structure. Even if you're running for a class president, these principles apply. What are politics? Well, let's define that term. And it's gotten a rather sullied name, but let's, for our purposes, let's look at it in its pure form. It's to politic is to persuade, to convince. Now, most of us have gotten so used to campaign rhetoric that we don't believe it anymore. And yet there's this whole idea that we want to be able to trust our government, trust our leaders, so we can be about our daily business. And that's, in a sense, one of the areas we have this rub, that when left alone, the government draws, and politics draws those who have an ability to persuade. So we can say that whether it's through personal charisma or a command or expertise or skill in a particular field, that those people very often that rise to any influence in a political field are those who are able to communicate well. Now, that's not always true. Sometimes it's just those who have a good speech writer. And somebody else is much more, even though they aren't in front, they have a much greater control. Some people have other, again, expertise that is deemed necessary at any given time or desirable at any given time for any particular situation. The point being that we look at the skills involved at persuasion and that's necessary in getting the job. They don't necessarily translate to being able to do the job. In other words, just because someone can persuade you or that you can be persuaded by them very often doesn't address real issues. Now, whether you're running for, again, class president or a head of the local PTA or president of the United States, none of us knows necessarily what decisions are going to have to be made by the person we're asked to vote for or if in our decisions to run. And we've talked a little bit before about character and how to define character and evaluate. But we're going to stay a little bit broader for now and just talk about the system itself. When we define politics, we also want to define Christian. Now, Christian, for our purposes, is not going to pertain to religion. We are instead going to use Christian as being a reborn, recreated Son of God. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you've been enlivened in your spirit, then you are a Christian. So we're not talking about someone who necessarily or strictly goes to church or has a certain set of doctrines or beliefs that some may say that makes them a Christian or others may say that makes them a Christian. But instead we're looking at the reality that they have been changed from a human being to a spirit being. Just that change alone changes our relationship to politics. And in fact, it changes our relationship to all aspects of our earthly existence. So in essence, we're not going to just end up talking strictly about the political realm and policy making, but we're also going to be able to apply this approach across the board to education, to culture, to science, to engineering, to any field. Because what we're really talking about is the relationship of spirit and soul in this earth time we have. So let's say a Christian person who has a desire to, well, let's say we hear of a Christian running for office, and we want to evaluate that person, whether that person is someone we want to vote for or not. Well, how do we evaluate? Do we take into consideration whether they are a Christian or not even? Just because they are persuasive, do we believe them? Or is it a matter of, is there a function to the office they are seeking, and we evaluate their ability to fulfill that function? So can we be very objective about evaluating a candidate for any kind of an office? Now, on the other hand, for those Christians, and there does definitely seems to be a split, that some Christians believe that Christians should not be involved in politics right now as far as running for office, because judgment is coming, and because that's basically the world system. And if you're involved in the world system, you'll pay the penalties of the world system. Then there's the other side, that's exactly where Christians should be, is where they're needed the most, that the light shines brightest in the darkness. And rather than looking at the pros and cons or the flaws and the strong points of either one of those, what do we always do here? We bring it back to each of us has a decision and a series of decisions to make. And it's going to be about what projects God has assigned you. In any area, what we have a tendency to do is spend our time evaluating this, that, or the other thing. Should Christians be involved in this? Should Christians do this? Should I, as a Christian, be involved? Should I support this? What am I supposed to be doing as a Christian? And as in so many areas, what we want to do is take away the evaluation and simply ask. For so long in these Saturday programs, we've been talking about setting supernatural goals. Developing and recognizing our desires and our skills. Checking with the Lord, is this something you want me to be pursuing? And then coming up with a way to pursue those desires and supernatural goals. So when it comes down to it, if the Lord gives you a desire to be involved in persuasion, and you ask him if this is a project you want, he wants you to be, if he gives you the okay to be pursuing that, you come up with a course of action and you pursue that. Then you're doing it to develop your skills. And if in the course of developing those skills as being a ruler and having the authority and learning to rule and reign here on this earth, in the process of that, you just happen to be working in the government sector rather than in the education sector or the religious sector or the scientific sector. Instead of the concern being fixing things or changing things or improving things, those are all secondary. Your primary goal is to be learning to rule and reign by working on the projects that God has assigned you. He gives us the desires of our heart. Now, some people think that when we have that means that God gives us what we desire. Instead, it's God gives us the desire. Not what we desire, but the desire. We've talked often about how if you have any desire to know God, that desire is the guarantee of its fulfillment. That desire would not come from anywhere else, will not come from the desire to know God, will not come from any of your enemies. And it will not come from your flesh. Your flesh, the last thing it wants to know is God. Because your flesh and God will not, they can't sit in the same room together. One of God's projects in your life is to destroy your flesh. So they cannot abide each other. So your flesh will not desire to know God. So it's really not about politics. It's about, are we just being distracted? If God has given you a desire and a skill and an ability to go into politics, and you check with him and he says, yes, this is the direction I want you to go, then go. Now, some will say that, well, you're just after the power, or, you know, you can't get a real job, or you just like the attention or the money. Well, you can take those and say, okay, God, is any of this true? Are you willing to deal with me on any of these things? And you let him deal with it, and then you go on. Never be afraid to do something because of what other people might say. Because you're not doing it because you're going into politics. You're doing it because this is the project that God has assigned to you to accomplish a mutual goal that you the two of you have established. In other words, fulfilling the desire that he gave you. Now, he's always welcome to change your course. He may send you, you know, to get involved in a particular political or social activity, and while you're involved in that, you cross paths with someone creating a new invention, creating a new source of energy, or a new approach to technology, to communications. And instead of going on the course of being involved in politics, you start your own business, developing and marketing this new technology. The whole goal is not to fix something, change the world. You don't have to be focused on being the salt and the light. If you're focused on God, you will be the salt and the light where he wants you. This also brings into focus our attention on the political realm. That we've often over-relied on the legal system and the political system to do our job. Because as Christians, yes, we are to learn to rule and reign, but as citizens, we also have a responsibility. Just as in the natural, we have a responsibility to feed our bodies, in the soulical realm, whether we're Christians or not, we have a level of interaction with our environment. That has nothing to do with us being a Christian. So we look at these things from a variety of different ways. And we see that when we are talking about how we choose what course to take for ourselves, or who to support politically, or our viewpoint of politics. We often think of politicians as the authority in the land, and we need to stop that. You are the authority in the land. As a Christian, you have the rightful authority in the land. People say, well, because God has to honor the leaders in the land. God will not interfere when there's an unrighteous leader, in whatever country, in whatever governmental system, if the government itself is corrupt, that God has to honor that. Well, that's just not true. And I think one of the reasons people like to think that is because then that gets them off the hook from having to find out if they should be doing something about evil leadership. So regardless of a tyranny in a country, whether a country is a monarchy or a dictatorship or whatever the situation is, to accept that any corrupt government, that God has any obligation to respect that leadership, is just false. We are the authority. He has made us rulers and reigners in this earth. And by thinking that God has to basically submit himself, and that his hands are tied because of who's in control of the country or the boundary lines of the country, to think that that's going to restrict him in any way, shape, or form, or restrict us in any way, shape, or form, is saying that God is submissive in those areas to that leadership, that they have a higher authority. And some, people will say that, well, he willingly submits himself, and he's the one who made those boundaries. Well, again, everything changed at the resurrection. I love that when Jesus ascended, he ascended from hell to earth and then to heaven. So everything's been covered by that resurrection. Hell, earth, and heaven he finished all the work in all those regions, whatever they mean to you. So what he did affected everything. And he is in submission to no one and to nothing. So if there's an area in your community, in your country, your nation, your group, instead of trying to figure out whether as a Christian you should be involved in this, you should object, you should want to get more involved, none of those are going to be answerable by trying to evaluate this is from God, this isn't from God. Instead, God wants to say, God wants to let us know that his desire for us is to challenge us, is to give us projects out of our comfort zone. Now, I've always thought of usually the best candidate is the one who doesn't want to be involved in politics, who's doing it simply because they want the best for the situation, and they feel they're the only one who can fill the bill. Now, then we start getting into the whole idea of ego. And ego has gotten a bad rap, especially in Christian circles. We're apparently not supposed to be clear and accurate about the skills and the abilities that God has given us and the hard work we've put into honing them. And that's another thing I think we all need to get over. All of us have an ego. If you think you don't, it's probably a lot stronger than you think. It's as we learn to recognize our ego, and it's that your ego is where your desire and your will align. Where your strengths and your will cross paths. Your ego is your perception of your strengths. And very often we think that to have an ego, to have a strong ego, a strong sense of self, is the opposite to humility. And these, again, are ways and techniques that others have used and we ourselves use very often to keep from having to follow through on projects that God has assigned to us. I like to use the example, if you had the cure to cancer, but you didn't know how to get it to people, and nobody came and asked for it, would you be off the hook? Or is there an obligation there to share with others that secret to the cure for cancer? Do you have an obligation? And very often what we find in Christian circles is that, well, if God wanted me to share it, he'd put me in a situation, somebody would come along and would ask, and I'd be able to give it to him, and they'd be able to share it. They'd get it to the drug companies or whatever the secret is. So we have our own conditions. We have our own ways of dealing with our own treasures that will keep us from having to be in a position where we're responsible, where we're drawing attention to ourselves, where we're having to work. And I think this is where we cross over when we're talking about politics. We think that as long as we're praying for our leaders and praying for God to come and rescue us, That's all we need to do. But you need to ask God, is there something else? Am I just hiding behind something? Have you given me understanding that I need to use to persuade others? So hopefully we've answered some of the basic questions regarding Christianity, Christians, in politics and policymaking. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again Monday morning at 7:30. Have a great rest of the weekend. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a good day.